The Lindy's Football Report. This is the Lindy's Football Report with Graham Dunn, Michael Butler, and Lynn Scarborough. College football in depth and complete in 30 minutes. The Lindy's Football Report is brought to you by U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish and Academy Sports and Outdoors.
And off Etienne's got a lead blocker, and he's loose. Midfield, broken tackle, still on his feet. Down the left sideline, 25-20, 15-10, 5, touchdown, Gators!
BYU poised to take a lead. Keaton deep drop, Keaton throws, end zone! Caught for the touchdown! He came down with it! He came down with it! Chase Roberts with the score! Leaping high in the air to haul it in and give the Cougars the lead.
61-yard attempt from Harrison Mavis just to the right of the left hash. Out of the hole to Luke Bauer with 3 seconds to play in regulation, tied at 27. Good snap, good place. Kick is up. It is...
Yes! Now a walk-off winner from 61! Harrison Mavis!
A record breaker in Columbia. Come from behind victory in Fayetteville. And same old in Gainesville. Highlighting another exciting week of college football. Thanks to Learfield and the BYU Radio Network for the cuts. It was a share of surprises and a few unexpected close calls and continued success by Dion and the Buffaloes. That sounds like a good rock group. But another great weekend.
Yeah, wild weekend. And Graham, I love those shades. You got you some Dion specials.
He didn't send me any.
No, you're wearing them today in the studio.
Oh, well, these were somebody else's.
Oh, I thought those were the Dion's. No. He's only made about $5 million off those. Everything's going in his favor these days, aren't they? And Harrison Mavis, what a kick. SEC record. I don't know who should thank who. Maybe he should thank his coach for drawing the delay, which made it an SEC all-time mark. But I think if I'm Drinkwitz, I'd thank him for bailing him out.
You know what's funny? He had missed so many kicks already this year. It's almost like, well, nobody expects me to make this one. Why not?
He's the thicker kicker.
Exactly. Well, as reported last week on the Lindy's Football Report, officials with Michigan State University began an investigation into charges of inappropriate behavior involving sexual harassment against head coach Mel Tucker. Well, earlier this week, the university sent a notice of termination of his contract with cause to the embattled coach, which, if this holds up, the school will not be responsible for paying the $72 million owed as part of his salary buyout. Tucker responded and once again denied the allegations of Brenda Tracy in a four-page letter to university officials. A hearing is still scheduled for October 6th, but this one isn't going away anytime soon.
No, the legal battle will ensue. And one thing we can say is we're going to have an interim coach for a little while, and they may have to stick with him, depending on the show cause. If it's validated and they don't have to pay the 70-plus million, if they do, then they better find a bargain for a deal and a coach.
And the team didn't exactly respond very well. They got whipped by Washington this past weekend. Don't know what to expect on the field from the Spartans this year.
The noise has to be deafening there. They're not immune to that. They hear the chatter and what's happening, and their coach is gone. So it has to have an impact on the program all the way around.
You would think. Well, the weekend schedule loaded with top 25 battles, six of them. If you follow the AP poll, seven in the coaches poll. But none bigger than number 9 Notre Dame and 4th-ranked Ohio State. The primetime tilt is the 8th meeting in history and the 3rd time in front of Touchdown Jesus. The two teams met last year with the Buckeyes taking a 21-10 win in Columbus. Coach Marcus Freeman gets his second crack at Ohio State. The last time it was his first game as a head coach. In a bit of a switch, it is the Irish that has the experienced quarterback in Sam Hartman, who transferred from Wake Forest and has been in the big game atmosphere and has an opportunity to lead his team to what would be a major victory for the Irish. His coach sees that as an advantage.
He's played in big games, and I think his mindset, the ability to go out there and have the right mindset for him to have success, right? And that's what I'm most excited for, is the experience he has. He knows, Sam Hartman knows, this is about him going out there and going through his checklist and executing the things he needs to go through to have success. When you haven't done that, it's a lot more difficult. I feel great having a quarterback that has had some of that big game experience and just football, college football experience that Sam has had.
Notre Dame will be wearing green this weekend. I know that's exciting for the fans. And this is a interesting situation for Ohio State. They've kind of been like Alabama and some of the others. They have just replaced a great quarterback with another great quarterback. It's taken them a while to finally settle.
The quarterback edge is in favor of Notre Dame. There's no doubt about that. Sam Hartman's one of the best quarterbacks in the country, period. And he's brought new life to Notre Dame. They feel like they can maybe win some of these type games. And I think they have the advantage. They're playing at home as well. And Coach Freeman talking about being in big games. Yes, he has. He's got experience. But he's not been in a game like this, not in a regular season game like this. This is a big one, no doubt.
Absolutely. Well, there are three games on the West Coast featuring ranked teams, highlighted by number 19 Colorado's visit to number 10 Oregon. The Heisman campaign has begun for former Auburn quarterback Bo Nix. This might be his biggest test so far. Colorado defense has already created 10 turnovers in just three games, something that has the attention of the Oregon signal caller.
They're very multiple on defense. They're everywhere at times, and they do a good job of getting to the passer, and they do a good job of affecting, you know, when the ball's in the air. And also, they do a good job of tackling the ball. You know, they go after the ball and force some fumbles and get some turnovers that way. So they're just an aggressive team, and they're going to do a good job in that area.
Bo Nix has settled in as the quarterback at Oregon, and he's thousands of miles away from home, and he seems right at home.
It's worked out for him. This is a year where you mentioned Heisman. He's one of those guys. Shedeur Sanders on the other side is another guy that's already in the Heisman conversation, making a splash really quickly at his new place. It's going to be a fun game. I expect a lot of offense, and I kind of feel for that duck. Might have to do a whole bunch of push-ups again.
It might be. By the way, I think I saw where Colorado is a 3 or 4 touchdown underdog.
I'm not counting them as a big underdog. They've been good. Hey, and watch out. They might win this game.
I wouldn't bet against them. Florida State and Clemson meet in a key early season showdown in Death Valley on Saturday. Two teams rank 3rd and 23rd, respectively, in the coaches' poll. This is what many consider the biggest game in the ACC this season. Clemson's loss to Duke on Labor Day may change that thinking, but one debate that continues has to do with the transfer portal, something that Mike Norvell has used predominantly, while Dabo Swinney has all but stayed away from it. That has caused a bit of consternation among Clemson fans, but South Carolina Radio Network analyst Phil Kornblut explained Sweeney's opinion on the portal.
Well, I think that they continue to recruit high school players at a very high level. I know that the talking heads, after they lost to Duke, were screaming about, you got to recruit the transfer portal. You got to recruit the transfer portal, and Clemson doesn't do it, and Dabo won't do it, and he's too stubborn. And you got to help your team. You got to help your roster by doing that. And Swinney just doesn't believe in it, and he believes that you develop from within your locker room. And his transfer portal is the next guy up in his locker room.
I dare say this game may be a true transfer team versus non-transfer team. But right now, FSU, the transfer team, has the advantage.
Yeah, we were just talking about Colorado, referencing them. They're a complete transfer team this year. We're seeing teams make quick turnarounds. Florida State has done that. It appears that some of these teams who've done so well recruiting high school players might be starting to slip, or maybe the gap has been narrowed. Let me see. Which cliche do I use? If you can't beat them, join them? Or the times they are a-changing?
I think they both work.
Is Florida State finally going to beat Clemson because they've lost 7 straight? If they do, then we'll say, well, the times they are changing, and I don't know, maybe Dabo will join them.
Yeah. Maybe. And that might be a big maybe. In the SEC, Auburn and Texas A&M open conference play in College Station. An early at 11 a.m. local time kickoff at Kyle Field. First big test for the Tigers under Hugh Freeze, while the Aggies look to avenge last year's loss on the Plains. Mark Passwaters of AggieL.com sees the Auburn offense facing a test against the Aggie defense.
Last year, A&M was absolutely abysmal against the run. This year, they're pretty darn good. They held Miami to 2.8 yards a carry. The other two teams have been closer to 2. You know, the defensive line, which was supposed to be good last year, is really good this year. So I think that that helps A&M significantly, that the defensive line has really come on. They're slowing down the run. And if Auburn's down 2 starters on the offensive line, that's a real problem.
I think this is one of the biggest games for both of these teams. Obviously, Hugh Freeze, first chance to win an SEC game as the Auburn Tiger head coach. And there's talk that if Jimbo doesn't win Saturday, he's squarely on the hot seat.
I mean, there's a lot of money. We just talked about with Mel Tucker a little while back, and there's a lot of money left on the contract with Jimbo, but they got to win. had a losing season last year. People came right back and said they're going to come back this year. If they don't, you know, he made the change with Bobby Petrino. They might start looking for somebody else. Texas A&M expects to win and win big.
And I would add, the way the SEC West looks right now, anything can happen.
Could be.
You win a road game, it really helps you.
Well, think of last year. Did anybody pick LSU to win the SEC West last year?
Not me.
Had a brand new coach.
Yep, exactly. Well, the Ole Miss Rebels enter Saturday's game against Alabama with a 3-0 record, number 15 ranking. They're a 7-point underdog, a number that is usually a lot bigger when they play the Tide. But no one in Oxford is considering this an automatic victory. Everyone is familiar with the quarterback situation at Bama and that Ole Miss defensive coordinator Pete Golding was with Nick Saban the last few years. Is all of that an advantage for the Rebels? Jalen Milroe is back. Brett Norsworthy of the Ole Miss Network sees him as a threat, along with the typical talent of the Crimson Tide.
Ole Miss wants to stop the run first. They got really good running backs, and the first two guys they have at running back, Alabama always seem to have one, and Milroe can burn you running. The receiving core for Alabama, it's young and inexperienced, but I think they'll be fine in time. But Milroe is a dangerous player. Got to keep a spy out after him, or he can really gash you. I mean, he can turn that busted play into 80.
Of everything that's going on this week, the number one topic of discussion was Alabama's quarterback situation and the fact they went to Tampa and nearly lost to a, quite frankly, a not very good team in South Florida. Jalen Milroe was announced as the quarterback Monday by Nick Saban, but the talk has continued. And in the meantime, Ole Miss probably laying in wait.
Until everybody can prove the naysayers wrong, that Alabama's still Alabama of old, we're going to continue to hear the talk. And it starts really with the quarterback position, because Alabama's replaced an NFL quarterback after another NFL quarterback after another after another. You know, four guys are starting in the NFL that preceded Jalen Milroe. He's got big shoes to fill. But it's not just there. Alabama's offensive line suspect over the course of three games so far. There's just a lot of doubt about whether this is the real deal, and Ole Miss thinks maybe their time has come.
And could this be the first step of getting Ole Miss into the SEC championship game for the first time ever?
Yes, definitely. I think it's a big step. They've still got a lot of big hurdles ahead.
Yeah, they do have Georgia later on as well. And one more thing. This weekend, Texas and Oklahoma begin the last of their association with the Big 12 Conference. Texas plays Baylor in what has been an annual battle since 1901. It's an odd beginning in conference play for the Sooners, facing Big 12 newcomer Cincinnati, a team OU has faced just twice in its history. The two schools, Texas and Oklahoma, begin their membership in the Southeastern Conference in 2024 and are taking with them a combined 295 conference victories and 17 championships, most of those by the Sooners, who have won 14 titles in the league. Goodbye to the rivalries such as Bedlam, which is Oklahoma-Oklahoma State, Texas and TCU, Texas and Texas Tech, but hello to the Lone Star Showdown featuring the Longhorns and the Aggies, plus the two teams battle with Arkansas. The Red River Shootout stays here. The two teams meet as Big 12 opponents one more time on October 7th in Dallas and could possibly meet again in the Big 12 championship game on December 2nd. Probably wouldn't sit too well with the remaining teams, but they get a shot at their new future SEC rivals one more time. For this week's U.S. Farm Raised Catfish Catch of the Week, we visit the Buffaloes of the University of Colorado for a second time this season after their exciting overtime win over state rival Colorado State. The Buffs won the game on this Shadur Sanders pass of 18 yards to Michael Harrison for the lead and the eventual win. Once again, we hear from Mark Johnson of the Colorado Football Radio Network.
Moving right to left here in overtime, number two, tied at 35. Shadur Sanders out of the shotgun. He's got a slot to the boundary side right, wing to the left. Motion man through the backfield. Shadur takes a snap, drops to throw, scans, throws over the middle. Mikey Harrison, Graham with the five, end zone, touchdown, touchdown, Colorado. Mikey, we like it. It's a strike of 18 yards, and the Buffaloes go on top, 41-35.
Remember, for the tailgate tent or the pregame party, U.S. farm-raised catfish is always the winning catch. To find out more, visit uscatfish.com.
This is the Lindy's Football Report.
Lindy's, America's leader in providing great magazines and specialty publications covering the gamut of sports. For daily updates, check out lindysports.com with original content, including features, columns, and predictions. lindysports.com also features photo galleries, fantasy sports news and up-to-the-minute items to keep you abreast of events from the ever-changing realm of sports. Lindy's, America's leading sports authority.
Saturdays are all about college football. Your tailgate matters too. Make it great with U.S. farm-raised catfish. Catch up on all the great recipes by visiting our website. Check out our videos and learn about how U.S. farm-raised catfish makes every Saturday exceptional, no matter the outcome of the biggest games. As always, it's fresh from our ponds to your plate. Remember, like we say every week, for the tailgate tent or the pregame party, U.S. farm-raised catfish is always the winning catch. Find out more. Visit uscatfish.com.
At Academy Sports and Outdoors, get the best gear from the top brands, all at the prices you'll love. And now, shopping is more convenient than ever at academy.com and on the Academy app. Enjoy free shipping on orders of $25 or more with sign-in, plus easy in-store or curbside pickup. Shop anytime, anywhere, and find the widest selection of colors, styles, and sizes. From grills to fitness equipment to workout clothes, everything you need to have fun out there is right here at academy.com.
The Lindy's Football Report.
How long can the Georgia winning streak go? For the answer, here's Michael Butler.
Top-ranked Georgia's win over South Carolina on Saturday was its 20th straight. The Bulldogs still have a ways to go, though, to break the all-time Division I record held by Oklahoma. The Sooners won 47 straight from 1953 to 57. One side note, Washington actually won 59 in a row in the early 1900s, but was not considered a major college football program at the time. In the D1 subdivision, North Dakota State has the longest run. Without a loss in the 2010s, it went 39 straight. The longest current streak by Georgia is not far from the program's longest at 24 games. That came in the Vince Dooley era at the beginning of the 1980s. Alabama has the longest stretch without a defeat for SEC teams at 28. That was from 1978 to 1980. Georgia will surpass that mark if it runs the table in the regular season. It could actually knock Oklahoma off the top row if it goes undefeated for the next two seasons. I'm sure Kirby Smart would interject some coach speak here. Let's take it one game at a time.
We bring in Lynn Scarborough from Lindy's and LindySports.com. Well, Lynn, upsets again last weekend, a record field goal in the Southeastern Conference. It was a pretty big week.
The upsets last weekend, really this entire season, that field goal by Harrison Mivis for Missouri was certainly a dramatic moment. I thought Drink was kind of funny at the press conference. He said, yeah, we moved it back. We called that penalty on purpose to move it back from 56 to 61 to add a little drama to it. So if he loses his football coaching job, it might be a stand-up comedian. But my goodness, the upsets we had last week. I mean, Oklahoma State entertained South Alabama. And if they don't score a touchdown in the last 2 minutes, South Alabama beat them 33-0 at Oklahoma State. Ohio from the MAC goes in and beats Iowa State. There were a lot of upsets, last week. Stanford is going to be moving to the ACC, got beat by Sacramento State. I don't even know what league Sacramento State's in. Fresno State shut out Arizona State. So a whole lot of upsets going with Alabama, LSU, and A&M had all been ranked teams, and they all lose by double digits. And really, with the exception of Georgia, And Ole Miss, I guess, but we'll see how good Ole Miss is Saturday when they play in Tuscaloosa. There's not another team in the league that you can't give some pretty serious criticism to. LSU's bounced back from that first loss. They beat Mississippi State pretty soundly last week, but you know how good's Mississippi State? We don't know that yet. And to show what a weird situation it is nationally, you got Washington State, Oregon State, and Duke, all three ranked, with Washington, Oregon, and North Carolina, all three ranked. So, whenever, and I think there's just going to be never, have you had a situation where those teams are ranked and there are two teams from the state that are ranked? And we're going to talk about some pretty significant games here. Oregon State and Washington State, both undefeated, both nationally ranked. The only two teams that right now look like to be left in the Pac-12 play each other. UCLA and Utah play each other. Iowa and Penn State play each other. These are all undefeated ranked teams. And they're not even getting any attention because of some of the other games that are being played.
We've seen teams such as Florida bounce back. You mentioned LSU. Could we have that again this weekend or in the next couple of weeks? Probably so, right?
Oh, absolutely. I think you could. I mean, it would be a bounce back for Alabama to, you know, to, but of course they're favored now by 7 points at the time that we're doing this show. And, you know, it's hard to pick against Alabama at home, but they haven't looked, you know, like what we thought they're going to look like. But yeah, I think there's opportunities for some teams to bounce back, and the way things have been going, I'd kind of be surprised if they don't.
Big games this weekend, a lot of, rank versus rank.
Yeah, more than, you know, last week, you know, we had very few games that would have qualified for that. And then this week there's an abundance. There's so many of them that you know, you run out of time to even talk about the major games that are being played.
Yeah, in fact, you've already kind of mentioned some of them out on the West Coast, but we'll get into the ones that matter most, and we'll start first in Clemson, where the Tigers, they're looking for a bounce back, but they've got to take on FSU this weekend.
Yeah, probably if you try to pick a game that was the biggest upset in the country early, if you said that Duke was going to beat Clemson by 3 touchdowns, that had to be in the league. I'm going to take Clemson to win this game. Clemson has looked better since then. I just can't see Clemson having 2 home losses 4 games into the season. Florida State was supposed to be good, Clemson too. So I'm going to take Clemson, primarily just on the home field advantage and the fact that I can't see them losing 2 straight at home.
Of course, FSU struggled with Boston College, so that may not be that big
of an upset. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You're very fortunate to win.
Exactly. How about the big one at Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish taking on Ohio State?
I'm going to take Notre Dame. I'm going to be taking the underdog in Clemson and the underdog in Notre Dame. You know, whenever has Clemson and Notre Dame both been underdogs at home on the same day? Who knows? But I'm going to take Notre Dame. I just a hunch, but also because of the home field advantage, I'll take the Irish.
Colorado has become the darling of television. They have been the ratings winner now the last couple of weeks. They go to Oregon, though, and face a team that has looked very good so far.
Yeah, Bo Nix is a legit Heisman Trophy candidate. His numbers are ridiculous. I was surprised that the line's a 20-point. But those guys in Vegas don't do this for a hobby. Let's be realistic about Colorado. I'm taking nothing away from what they achieved. Their first win was TCU, who most recently had gotten beat 56-7 in the most important game that counted. Their second win of the year was Nebraska, that hadn't had a winning season in, you know, how long. Their third win was against Colorado State, an in-state rival, and it took them double digits, double overtime to beat a mediocre Colorado State team. So Colorado's 3-0, and they've looked impressive. Their numbers are good, but they have not exactly gone up against a bunch of Final Four contenders. Oregon's played a more difficult schedule. They're playing at home. They got more experience. You got to take Oregon. 20 might be too much, but I like Oregon.
Ole Miss visits Alabama.
I'm going to take Alabama. If you just looked at it by what they've done on the field and the stats, you'd take Ole Miss. Ole Miss clearly has the best advantage at quarterback, at several other positions, but I just can't see Alabama losing back-to-back home games, which is what would happen here if Ole Miss beats them. So on the strength of being the home team, and just don't think Alabama will do that, I'm going to take Alabama.
How about your upset special?
I'm going to take Brigham Young to beat another one of these surprise teams, the Kansas Jayhawks, are more than a touchdown favorite to beat Brigham Young. So I'm going to take Brigham Young to be the upset winner.
This has been the Lindy's Football Report, brought to you by U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish and Academy Sports and Outdoors.